torn away from you for a short time, in person, not in thought. Out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. For we wanted to come to you. Certainly I, Paul, did again and again. But Satan stopped us. Oh no, Paul! Why, Satan can't stop him. He's the Apostle Paul. He wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. He was caught up to the third heaven. Jesus appeared to him in vision form. There's no way that Satan could have hindered Paul. Read your Bible. Sure is quiet out there. Notice he said, but Satan stopped us. Now that word there, stopped or hindered, if you're reading the King James, says hindered. That comes from a Greek word, means inkopto. Inkopto. And the literal meaning is this. It means, for example, take somebody on a journey or a group of people that are on a journey, okay? They pack their bags. They purchase their ticket. They've made their plans. They're in transit. They're on the journey. And all of a sudden, they come to a part of the road that is so deteriorated, so washed out, so blocked off that they cannot get through it. And Paul says, we found ourselves on this journey coming to a place like that. He said, not one time, but many times. In other words, it inferred that they came to a place where they couldn't move forward. He backed up. He tried again. He couldn't go forward. He backed up. He tried again. He couldn't go forward. And he tried again. See, most Christians I know, if we come to a place where we can't move forward, we immediately think, well, something must be wrong. Yeah, something's wrong. It's called the devil. Nothing wrong with you. It's the devil. And so it literally means a person's on a journey to a destination. It's a place where the road becomes impassable. This word actually, in connotation, means to come to an impasse. It means that I'm on this journey, you're on this journey. Paul and his companions were on a journey for the Lord, fulfilling his call and his ministry and his purpose, but they reached a place, not once, but he said many times, where there was an impasse. An impasse. There's another connotation to this. This word, inkopto, impasse. It also has this connotation. A person running a race. You ever seen a race where they've got several people running it and they got their lanes where they're running in? So the impression here is also, the meaning is, they're running a race. And Paul says, I'm running my race. You know, he used that term a lot, didn't he? And the connotation here is, this word inkopto, is that I'm running the race and I'm out in front in my lane, I'm running the race, when suddenly, it seems out of nowhere, somebody comes up beside me and elbows me out. And I lose my place. Paul said, I was running my race. I was doing great. I was on my way to you. And suddenly, Satan comes along and elbows me out. Anybody in here feel like you've been elbowed out of your race? You were running good. It looked like you were ahead. It looked like you were moving forward in the plan and purpose of God in your life. It looked like things were just beginning to unfold and things were about to happen, and all of a sudden you felt, Or you're going along in your race and all of a sudden it seems like you come up against this thing and you can't get through it and you back up and you can't get through it. Well, don't feel alone. Paul also faced that. Let's turn over to Acts 27. I want to look at some things in one of these occasions, and I believe that out of this it will help you. This is why we have to persevere. See, some people, man, they try one time. If it doesn't work out, that's it. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to try something different. Oh, it can't be. God must not be in this if there's an impasse. God must not be in this if I got elbowed out of my race. There must be something wrong. Well, there is. There's something wrong with our understanding. And we need to gain understanding. Otherwise, we're never going to fulfill God's purpose and plan for our life, whether it's individually or collectively. Now, you know here in Acts 27, let me give you a little background because we won't read the whole chapter. But Paul is going to Rome to fulfill God's call. Remember back in Acts 9, where Paul, then known as Saul, Remember that? He's on his horse. He's riding to Damascus. He has letters in hand. He's going to persecute the church. He's already been persecuting them. He watched while Stephen was stoned. He held the coats. You remember the story. He's breathing out threatenings. He's on his way. And on the way, he has a divine encounter, doesn't he? He gets knocked off of his horse. He has a supernatural conversion there. And you remember that God spoke to a disciple, you know, because Paul got up. He couldn't see. He was blind. He spoke to a disciple. He said, go pray for Paul. And he said, when you pray over him, his sight's going to come. And tell him this prophetic word from the Lord, that I am sending him to the Gentiles and to their kings to proclaim this gospel. So here's Paul many years later, Acts 27. You know the story. He's on the ship. He's on his way to Rome. He's fulfilling a divine mandate. He's fulfilling a prophecy given by Almighty God. Man, he's on king's business. This is not some guy that ate a pizza and thought he's supposed to go. I mean, this is a guy who had a word from God. He had a commission. He had a mandate. He was on his way. He was on the ship. He was in the perfect will of God. So let's see what happened to Paul on the way. Paul is moving along. Look down in verse 13, 27, 13. When a gentle south wind began to blow. Boy, have you ever started out in the call of God, in the direction of God? God prompts you, and you begin to step out, and you begin to move. And when you first begin to step out and move, everything's nice. Oh, hallelujah. I was in that meeting, and God, the man of God, the woman of God, called me out and had a word for me. And man, the Spirit of God came on me, and I fell in the floor, and I cried, and man, the Holy Ghost was on me, and oh, it was awesome, and it was wonderful, and I couldn't sleep for days. He said they started out, it was a soft wind blowing. Sound familiar? And they thought they had obtained what they wanted. Hello? Oh, we think, oh, it's just going to be a piece of cake. It's going to be wonderful. Every day is going to be just like when God, I had that experience with God. That's what they thought. Oh, buddy. Hang on. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, now listen to this, a wind of hurricane force. Listen, this wasn't no, you know. A hurricane. They got caught. Paul's ship en route to fulfill the will of God in the perfect will of God. Paul's ship encountered a hurricane. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. See, in some of our circles, we think if we encounter a storm, somebody made a wrong turn somewhere. I'm going to tell you one thing. God didn't call me to no hurricane. I'm supposed to be where it's always wonderful and the gentle breezes blow. I think that's some other place you got in mind. Amen. It was hurricane-like conditions. So here they are. You can go on and read it. Man, these guys were sailors. They were doing everything. They were fighting this wind. They were doing everything they could to save themselves and to save the ship and to save the cargo. And you read it. They did everything they could. I mean, they were day and night, they were fighting this thing. They were doing everything they knew to do. Sound familiar? We're talking about, what do you do when you reach an impasse? What do you do? Here's a man with the call of God, in the perfect will of God. He's on his way to preach the gospel to Caesar, exactly what God had told him. He runs into a hurricane. Now notice verse 27-23. I'm just going to skip around. Most of you know the story. Well, let's back up to 22. Paul stood up. They'd been in the storm now for 4 days. Can you imagine on one of those wooden ships in a hurricane for 4 days? He says, now I urge you to keep up your courage. Is this man a lunatic or what? Come on. Keep up your courage. And see, That's what I try to endeavor to do for you. Just tell you in so many words, keep up your courage. Don't give up. Don't get tired. Don't give in. Don't start doubting. Don't let fear grip you. Do we like the hurricane? Are you crazy? But listen, when the hurricane comes, what are you going to do? Reach up for the off switch? You deal with the hurricane. You deal with it. That's what faith does. Faith deals with what comes. Faith deals with it. Faith doesn't sit down and have a pity party. Oh, God. I mean, Paul could have just said, I don't understand what's going on, Lord. I've been trying to do your will, and you told me to go to Rome and preach, and I'm trying to go, but listen, what happened? I don't understand. Come on. Oh, I don't understand. God gave us a word here, grace. I don't understand. Why is it so hard right now? There's a devil. Listen, I want to tell you, let me just tell you something. If you're never getting any kind of opposition, I doubt seriously if you're doing anything right. You're no threat. Yeah, I said, you're no threat. You're never getting any opposition. You're no threat. You never reach an impasse. Then you're no threat to the devil. Come on. Jesus said, in the world, speaking to Christians, you will have tribulation. If you're not having any, then I got news for you. You're no threat to the devil. Oh, it's Bible. I ain't got time to get in it now. If you know your Bible, you know it's right. He said, be of good courage, because not one of you will be lost, but the ship's going to be destroyed. Well, Lord, why didn't you preserve the ship? See, that's the way we are, isn't it? Lights out. Could God have preserved the ship? Sure, he could have preserved the ship. Did he preserve the ship? No, he did not. So get over it. That was God's business. If he didn't preserve the ship, that was God's business. Isn't that right? He said, last night, an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you all the lives of those who sail with you. Well, good Lord, if God here reaffirming his call on Paul, and Paul was in the perfect will of God, then why in the world did God let the hurricane come? I got a suggestion. Okay? I don't have an answer, but I got a suggestion. Ask God. He's the one that did it. It amazes me. People want to ask us human preachers explain everything about God. Go ask God. What does God say? Well, I talked to God, but God didn't say nothing. Well, there you are. Why are you getting mad at me if I don't say anything? Isn't that right? So he's the one. But here's what I want you to see. In the midst of his hurricane, now listen carefully. In the midst of the impasse, in the midst of being elbowed out of the race, it looked like here, what did he do? He got a word from God. And for the next 10 days, he hung on to that word, because you're going down there and say, for it was 14 days, they didn't eat, they didn't hardly sleep, they were fighting for their lives. Yet Paul had a word. He got a word from God, but it didn't mean the storm stopped that moment. But that word carried him through the storm. That word gave him a hope. That word gave him a destination. That word gave him an anchor to hold on to in the middle of that storm. And even though it looked like he was being elbowed out of the race, Paul said, I must, I shall appear before Caesar. I will fulfill my destiny. I will see the will of God done in my life. Now that's courage. It don't take courage when you're not facing anything. Isn't that true? When it's the gentle wind, who needs courage then? Hey, man, you're on a cruise then. 10 nights more passed. But faith in God's word gave him confidence. These men were fighting for their lives. Look in verse 28. It says, they took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet. And then later it was 90. And they were fearing they were going to be dashed against the rocks. So they dropped 4 anchors from the stern. They were trying to slow this thing down. They were doing everything they knew to do as sailors in the natural to save themselves. Yet Paul was on a mission. Yet Paul was following the will of God. He had a mandate. God had sent an angel. Yet what? They were still in the storm. Well, I don't understand. Why aren't they? Why is it like God's word? I thought you said God said this and God said that, and I thought we had this word and that prophecy and the other thing. Why are we still in the storm? Go ask God. Go ask God. Why did they stay in the storm 10 more days? Huh? When you can answer that, I'll answer you the other. Amen? Fair is fair. It says, they were escaped. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down. You know, Paul said, unless they stay with it, they're not going to make it. And they're going along. Now look, for sake of time, look in verse 39. Finally, you know, they had eaten something. They were strengthened a little bit. You think about this. These guys were sailing for 14 days, fighting for their life, and they didn't even take time to eat. Verse 39, when daylight came, they did not recognize the land, but they saw a bay with a sandy beach. Oh, hallelujah, things are looking up. Things are looking up now, because look at that. There's a bay right there and a nice sandy beach. Oh, so they determined, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put up all the sails, we're going to get the rudder set, and we're going to head for the safe place on that sandy beach. That made good sailing sense. Are you listening? That was good sailing sense. It was. But, here we go again, unbeknownst to them, just beneath the water where it could not be seen, was a reef. Uh-oh, not again. You ever had one of those times in your life where it felt like it just wasn't going your way? I can imagine how Paul was feeling. 14 days in the middle of a hurricane. Everybody fearing for their life, doing everything they can, haven't slept, just finally broke the fast and ate something. So here they are. They're sailing for this safe place. They're sailing for it. And suddenly as they head full speed, because remember the wind's still driving them, they hit an underground reef, kapow, and they're stuck. You ever felt stuck? I mean, here, I'm serving God. I'm doing what God told me to do. I started out, it was great. Now I've gone through this storm, and it looked like here's the way of escape, and I headed toward it, and all of a sudden, pow, hit the reef, and it's stuck. And so here's the hurricane and the waves behind pounding, breaking up the back side of the ship, while the front side of their ship was being torn up on the reef. This is a day that the Lord has made. Come on. It was an unforeseeable circumstance. They couldn't see it. They didn't know what was going to happen. And you know, many times when we get elbowed out of the race, when the impasse comes in our life, a lot of times you can't see it. Somebody said, well, why didn't you're supposed to be a person of faith. Why didn't you see that? I don't know. Why didn't Paul and them see that? You think God didn't know the reef was there? Why didn't he send another angel and tell him? Ask God. Isn't that right? See, but we get all these things worked up in our mind that it ought to work this way, or it ought to work that way, or it ought to be this way. So it was an unforeseeable, you know, they went, and finally, you know, verse 42, it says the soldiers planned to kill everybody. But the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life, so he said, everybody jump over, you know, and ones that could swim could jump, and the ones that couldn't grab something that floated. So here is Paul, the man of faith and power, gone through 2 weeks of a hurricane, and now he is treading water in the Mediterranean Ocean while he watches that ship torn apart and everything he owns, his luggage, his money, his passport, everything, all his new clothes, down to the bottom of the sea. And he's, I must go to Rome and preach to Caesar. He could have been out there. I don't understand, God. I just don't. I'm trying to do your will. I'm just going to give up. Sink. Oh, wait, it gets better. You know, here's a side note, though. What do you do when you're on the journey and you're shipwrecked, and the boat goes down through unforeseeable things, and the boat goes down, what does faith do? What does faith do? It swims. It doesn't sink. It swims to the shore. And that's what Paul did. He's, I must appear before. See, he never forgot the word, the plan, the purpose of God. He did not let the circumstance dictate to him. He did not say, I must have missed it. It must not be God. He understood there that Satan was going to try to hinder him, was going to try to elbow him out of his race, was going to try to put up an impasse and obstacles and try to discourage him and get him to give up and let go. But Paul said, I must appear. So he swims to the shore. Oh, hallelujah. He's safe. He's at the shore. You go read in verse 28, but there's something else. It's raining and it's cold. And all his clothes is in the bottom of the sea. Man. Maybe I could understand the hurricane. But now, losing everything, that's kind of tough. But now, on top of that, when I finally get to shore, now God is raining on my life and it's cold. What does faith do when it's rainy and it's cold? You read there. They built a fire. Let me ask you something. Are you pouring water on top of water or are you building a fire? See, when I start to feel sorry for myself, and I start to whine, and I start to complain, and you know what I'm doing? I'm just pouring water on top of the water that's already raining down on me. You know what you need to do is, what did he tell Timothy? He said, stir up some, build a fire. Take the word of God, take prayer, remember what God said, remember God's plan, remember God's promise, and build a fire with it. Build a fire with it. Let me ask you, you can have a fire in your belly. It doesn't matter what the hurricane's doing, the rain's coming down. You can still have a fire of God in your life. You can still have the no-so in your life. You can still know I'm on the path God's called me to do. I will appear before Caesar, so to speak. So, praise God, they finally got a fire going. Acts 28. Once safely on shore, we found out the island was called Malta, and it was inhabited by barbarians. We built a fire because it was raining and cold. Everything's looking up now. We got a fire going here. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper, driven out by the heat, fastened itself on Paul's hand. That's it right there. I'm out of this church. Bless God, I just got to be a better church somewhere. I'm telling you, since I've been at this church, I've had the hurricane, I've had the cold, I've had the rain. I'm telling you what, I lost this, I lost that, and now, bless God, there's a viper bit me. This can't be God. This can't be God. I'm going over there to the doodah church. Man, they don't get bit over there. Boy, you ever had a bad day, boy? Look at this sometime. You'll encourage yourself. Here's Paul. Paul is bit by a viper. Now, not just any snake, a viper. A viper is a poisonous snake, a very poisonous snake. And you know, the poison from the viper, it affects you two ways when it's injected in your body. First thing is, it will begin to attack your muscles and nervous system and begin to paralyze you. What does the devil want to do? He wants to paralyze you with fear. Oh, I tell you what, this is the last boat trip you'll ever take. You ain't going to get out on that boat again, are you, buddy boy? You're not going to be standing up telling everybody how you're going to do this and do that and go preach to Caesar. We won't be hearing you. And what's he want to do? He wants to paralyze. He wants to shut your mouth. Shut down your faith. Shut down your confidence in the living God. The second thing that the poison from a viper does is it attacks your respiratory system. You can't catch your breath. So it can't breathe. Why does the enemy come up and want to elbow you out or create an impasse when you're moving forward in God? He wants to take away your breath. He wants to knock the wind out of your sails. He wants to take you out of the race. Why? Because he knows you're a threat. He knows that you accomplishing the will of God and the purpose of God for your life is a threat to his kingdom. Otherwise, why does he bother? Let me tell you something. The devil don't care whether you are broke or got $1 million. If he can snare you with the million, great. If he can snare you being broke, great. He don't care about that. But what he does care about is if you're on the track and moving in obedience and faith in the will of God to do what? To fulfill the purpose of God. Paul said, I tried to come many times. But he said, Satan hindered in Copto. He created an impasse. And so what does it say that Paul did? He said, when the islanders saw the snake hanging from his head, they said, this man must be a murderer. Now, I want to tell you, when you go through stuff like this, you know what people will say? They missed God. That ain't God. God ain't with them. And they all stood around and waited for Paul to die. You know what? When you go through something like this, you know what? It's a shame, but a lot of people, sometimes even Christians, they're going to stand around and watch. Yep. Oh, he's going to fall. He's going to die. I'm just waiting for him to die over there at Grace. I'm waiting for him. I know. I'm just watching. Did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? I'm watching. I heard a viper bit them. And they're so dumb they don't even know it. Come on. They stood around watching. Oh, he must be this or he must be something bad. It is. But notice what it says. It says, but what? Paul shook it off. That's a word for some of y'all. You need to shake it off. What do you do? What does faith do? It shakes it off. When the viper comes out, you shake it off. He shook it off into the fire. I don't know. Maybe they roasted that thing and ate it. But shake it off. Paul didn't go, my God. First I'm in a storm. Then I'm in a shipwreck. Then I lose everything. Then I'm bit by a viper. My God, this is it. No, every time that enemy come against Paul, every time he come against him to try to stop him and to hold him back, Paul said, I'm going to get back up in faith. He's shipwrecked. What did faith do? It swam to shore. He got there. It was cold and rainy. What did faith do? It built a fire. When the viper lets a hold of him, what did faith do? It shook it off. That's what we have to do. I'm going to shake it off. Amen. So everybody watched to see Paul die. No. People will, listen, they'll sell tickets. I know. I'm just waiting. They ain't going to last much longer. They ain't going to last much longer. I'm going to tell you what. Over in Romans 14, the Bible says that God is able to make his servant stand. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't need you to prop me up. I'm talking about the naysayers. God's able to prop us up. Amen. Notice, it says, Paul shook it off and suffered no ill effects. The people expected him to swell up and suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time. See, this is what I found out. See, they'll wait, but then when you don't die, see, when the purpose of God begins to come to pass, when you begin to get on that other side, you got victory all the time if you're in faith. But when they can begin to see it and all, and things start happening and all of a sudden these people change their tune. Oh, now they said, oh, they changed their mind, said, oh, he must be a god. Aren't people fickle? Oh, God. Present company accepted, of course. He went on, I got to wrap this up real quick. But he went on, he went to the estate of the chief man there named Publius. His father was sick. You remember that? Paul went in, ministered to the man, laid his hands on him, and he was what? Healed. Then you go on reading, it says they brought many people from all over. You know what happened? Because Paul stayed in faith, revival broke out. You read there, for 3 months he was there. 3 month revival broke out. Oh, hallelujah. It says, verse 9, 28, when this happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in, with many honors. Now, what does that mean? They honored us with many honors. What did they do? They bring out a blue ribbon for Paul? They have a trophy carved out of wood or something? If you will get into this. Now, how many of you ever use a Strong's Concordance or something like that? You ever use that in your Bible study? If you don't, if you've got it on your computer, you can go there so you can look out, okay, and see that I'm telling you the truth. This is what they said. It says they loaded them down with much cash. That's what the Greek says. I lie not before God. Why in the world they said they honored them with many honors? Why didn't they just tell it like it was? They loaded them down with cash. So let's take a minute here. Now, here's Paul. He's on his way. We've talked about the things that happened to him on his journey, but now all of a sudden he stays in faith. The ship sinks. What does faith do? Swims through the shore. It's cold, wet, and rainy. What does faith do? Builds a fire. The viper comes out and bites him. What does faith do? Shakes it off. And then he goes and ministers. A revival breaks out. Now we're seeing the whole island come to Jesus, and now they're loading him down with a whole bunch of cash. And he's staying at the chief estate of Publius. He must be, and you know he's got some fine rags on now, man. Come on. Verse 10. They honored us in many ways, and we were ready to sail. They furnished us with everything we needed. He got his luggage back. He got a bunch of new clothes. I mean, man. Come on. See, we all want to skip to here. We want to go from the gentle breeze to here. Verse 11. After 3 months. See, he was there 3 months. They had a three-month revival. We put out to sea in a ship that wintered in the island. It was an Alexandrian ship with the figurehead of the twin gods, Castor and Pollux. Now, you know, we read that. That don't mean too much for us. But let me just share with you. In that day, the finest ships made and sailed were from Alexander, Egypt. Are you listening? That's where they were made. They were the Bentleys of ships. I mean, they were the thing. You know, Cleopatra and all that stuff. I mean, these things were, I mean, they were luxurious. Well, see, what he went down on was an old cargo ship or a slave ship. So here we see the man of God, the person of God, on the will of God, on the way to God, what he goes through, all this stuff. But in everything, what does he do? He stays in faith. He stays in faith. He doesn't begin to feel sorry. He doesn't gripe. He doesn't complain. He doesn't whine. He doesn't do all that. He doesn't give up. He stays in faith. So now we see him leaving with new clothes, new luggage, a suitcase full of cash on the best ship that sailed. Still going where? To Rome to fulfill his call. And he did appear before Nero. And he did preach the gospel to him. Now here's the thing. What did he do with all that cash? I'm glad you asked. Look in verse 30. After he got to Rome. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came boldly and without hindrance, preached the kingdom of God, and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd say he finished his course. I'd say he made his destination, didn't he? So what did he do with all that cash he got on that island? He rented his house and preached the gospel for 2 years. In probably one of the most expensive cities in the world at that time. Oh, hallelujah. Look what happened when he would not be moved. And listen, the enemy, like he said in Thessalonians, he said the enemy many times, he brought an impasse. He tried to block the will of God. He tried to block my progress. He tried to elbow me out of the race. But Paul would not give up. He hung on to his faith. He hung on to the Word of God. He hung on to God's purpose for his life. And I want to tell you something. Maybe some of you felt like you've been elbowed out of the race. Maybe you felt like, man, you were on your way. You had the promise of God. You were running a good race. And all of a sudden, somebody or life's come up and elbowed you out of the race. And perhaps you didn't do what Paul did. You forgot to swim when your ship went down. And you've just been sitting down there waiting on God to resurrect the ship and you from the bottom of the sea. Well, God, blah, blah, we'd better come down and get me up to this place. Come on. But you know what? God says, here's the thing. He says, it's time for you to get back up. Get back up and get into the race. Listen, don't listen to those who tell you you're not going to make it. Don't listen to the enemy. Don't listen to people who want to come by and tell you, man, I'm telling you what, you're never going to make it. Y'all never going to make it over there at Grace. Nothing's ever going to come of that. You're not going to fulfill the will of God. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. That's all just a bunch of stuff. I'm going to tell you what, that's when you got to know. Okay, what has God said to me? And we rise up like Paul and said, wherefore, sirs? And you know what? These people that come around and tell you this stuff, this is what you need to stand up and say. Wherefore, sir, madam, I believe that it will be just as God has spoken unto me. You can point out my flaws. You can point out this and that and the other, but that's not what I'm looking at. I'm not believing this, that, and the other. I'm believing the word of the Lord. What has God said to you? What has God said to you? Has He said you're going to go under? Has He said you're going to go down? Has He said you're going to fail? Has He said you're going to die early? Has He said you're going to stay broke? Has He said you're going to stay in that doubt and discouragement and despair? No, that's what the one who wanted to elbow you out of the race. This morning, I'm telling you what, it's time for you to grab hold of the Word of God. Let a fresh breath from the Spirit of God come into your life and breathe on you. And you rise up and say, bless God. I don't care what's happened to my ship. I don't care what's happened to my luggage. I don't care if the viper. I'm going to shake it off and my ship is coming in. You read on there, it says that the brothers, you know, there when Paul was scheduled to come in, the brothers went down to meet him, you know, at the pier. Can you just imagine? I'm sure they were all looking, where's the slave galley? I didn't see Paul on the slave galley. You think he missed the boat, Myrtle? Then they looked at the cargo ship. Well, you know, hey, you know, God might have got him on a cargo ship. Oh, you think? Well, you know, God might have blessed him enough for a cargo ship. You really? So they looked at the cargo ship. He wasn't on there. Well, that's it, Myrtle. I know he missed it. He just missed it. About that time, ship they wasn't even looking for. Man, this Alexandrian ship. Sleep. Beautiful. It comes in. Here's Paul. He's standing up there with his new clothes on, holding that suitcase full of cash. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. I must appear before Caesar. Listen, don't stop until you're on the ship with your new clothes and your suitcase full of cash. You know what I'm talking about? It might be literal, it might be figured, but you know what I'm talking about. You come in there. Bless God now. Now. Nothing will hold me back. Nothing. No one's going to elbow me out of the race. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Norris, I feel like I've reached an impasse. I've believed, I've prayed, I've done everything I know to do, but it looks like there's just an impasse. I just can't seem to make progress. I can see it out there, but I can't seem to figure out how to get to it and what to do. I want to pray for you this morning because you're the very one this message is for. You're the very one this message is for. So if you're out there this morning, I want to pray for you. Would you just, wherever you are, just lift up your hand. That's all you got to do.